Blog Talk Radio.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Will a strong and united America still be a force for freedom and prosperity around the world?
America has created the longest peacetime economic expansion in our history.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Good common sense and sound judgment of the American people and their essential love of justice.
Hi, welcome to the Kudzu Vine for March 10th, 2024. I'm your host, David McLaughlin. Join me as always, welcome Catherine Smith.
Greetings from Atlanta.
And welcome back to the show, Tim Shiflett.
Good evening, sir.
All right, good to be back at full strength, and we're excited about tonight's show. We had talked to her about coming on once her new book came out. Her new book's been out roughly a month, and that gave us time to read and listen to it. But Dr. Rachel Bittenkofer is going to be our guest to talk about her new book, Hit 'Em Where It Hurts. So we'll be excited to welcome her on about 20 minutes into the show, into the podcast. And so we'll be looking forward to that. But until then, we've got just a handful of different topics. Seemed like a little bit bigger political week this past week with all kind of elections, but then also Thursday I think was even a bigger deal with the State of the Union and a response as well, but mainly the State of the Union. President Biden came out with far more vigor than his critics accuse him of having, more volume in his voice, and really quick on his feet to a very not decorum Republican opposition audience. Catherine, what was your thoughts on President Biden's State of the Union?
Well, I couldn't help but, you know, I'm a West Wing fan, the TV show, The West Wing, and I couldn't help but recall a episode and a sort of theme throughout when President Bartlet was reelected, let Bartlet be Bartlet. And I think that we let Biden be Biden on Thursday, and we really saw the real Joe Biden, the authentic man, and his love for our country and devotion to democracy and to the working people. And so it was really kind of fantastic to see him sort of grasp that gauntlet of, you know, part populism, part just sort of enthusiastic cheerleader. It was good. He was good.
Yeah, I thought that may be an important point, that he wasn't overmanaged. They let him do what he's good at and not try to have him be someone else. We'll get to the person that was definitely overmanaged and overcoached in a little while. But, Tim, your thoughts on the State of the Union address Thursday night?
Well, it's clearly the best, not only State of the Union, but the best speech I've seen by Joe Biden in quite a number of years. The Republicans, of course, set the bar very low. You're going to see this doddering old man that's almost zombie-like. It'll be hard to hear him and that sort of thing. And he just blew way, way past that. Then, of course, they said he had too much energy. Much of the content was a campaign-style speech, and he meant to do that. He hit on about everything. He was prepared for hecklers, and especially when he went right at Marjorie Taylor Greene and right-wing criticisms, obviously, of him going into this speech backfired as a seasoned political pro. Stepping up and doing exactly what he had to do.
Yeah, I noticed that one person, you know, somebody had speculated that one reason that even though their ages are roughly 3 years apart, and so they're both older than the average politician, the average American, that Donald Trump might seem younger is because he's louder and Joe Biden's quieter. And I noticed both Thursday night and I went to see the president and first lady yesterday, last night, he did the same thing. His volume was a lot more vocal. Now, that was truly a campaign speech in Atlanta, but his volume was higher, and so it must be a concerted effort. Now, I mean, honestly, when you have microphones, there's not necessarily a reason to yell, and I'm a person that probably talks too loud all the time anyway, so I'm not the best at that advice. But he, you know, speaks quieter, more resolute, but that apparently may be giving the wrong perception to some folks. And so he got a little louder, and the reviews were very positive. Now, talking about that audience, he had one individual wearing Donald Trump's face and a mugshot on a, in a, on a T-shirt, which, you know, that was one individual. And then he had Marjorie Taylor Greene, who looked like she was dressed up for really a Trump rally because she's wearing a ball cap that was the MAGA ball cap. But then she also tried to tie in to the tragic, you know, murder of Lake and Riley at UGA. And she wanted to try to somehow use that against President Biden, who took the button that, he gave her with Lake and Riley's name on it. And I don't know what other kind of message is. And picked it up and talked about the killing being tragic. You know, the individual that did it was despicable. But that can't be applied to all Latino peoples or Latino peoples that are newly into this country, either legally or illegally. That's the difference there. And I think Joe Biden tried to point that out. And I'm not sure, so sure Marjorie Taylor Greene was ready to hear that. I guess that ended up being one of more of the defining moments of the speech, right, Catherine, that interaction with her?
I guess. I don't know. I thought she looked ridiculous. And
oh, she did?
I don't.
Yeah.
And so I guess, but I thought there were other moments of the speech where he really sort of solidified his stance on things. There was a little bit about voting, a little bit about jobs and employment that I thought was really strong. So, I mean, there were a lot of high points in my mind. I don't always watch the State of the Union. I often just read it the next day, but I wanted to watch it Thursday night because I was curious to see how he would, how strong he was. So I'm glad I watched it because it was very good.
Well, you weren't the only one. The ratings were up. Not that it is a commercial program, but the ratings were definitely up this year across all platforms, because that's how they say it now, since people can stream it instead of just watch it on live TV. Tim, of course, I want you to speak to your congressional representative and how she conducted herself and how the president kind of used her thing against her. But at the same time, another thing I was struck by was how, for the first time in a long time, the not only next day coming out of this, but really through today, there's been a lot more positive talk about Joe Biden instead of either A, negative talk about Joe Biden, or B, which has been more of the case, just something Donald Trump's said or been accounted for. I mean, Donald Trump stays in the news even though he's the challenger. This has been President Biden in the news more and in a positive light since Thursday.
Well, quickly touching on Marjorie Taylor Greene, she violated House rules,
yeah,
first of all, by wearing that campaign gear. Something should happen to her. She should be fined or she'd be punished in some way. Of course, being that the House, you know, leadership is controlled by the Republicans, they won't do anything about it. But you could bet if that was a Democrat, they would have been having a running duck fit, and I wouldn't blame them. That wouldn't be a Democrat. Biden's reaction to seeing her when he walked in, by the way, was absolutely priceless. I think it got 2 or 3 million hits on TikTok and YouTube. I don't blame him for that reaction. As for the positive feedback, there couldn't be nothing but positive feedback about that, because he didn't just beat expectations. He just absolutely blew them away. And I think also a lot of people are figuring out, you know what, he's our nominee. And if, you know, we get behind him now, or we lose. And he's given them a reason to get behind him, a very good one.
Yes. Now, one more person, reactions, if you will. One more thing that I guess came out of the speech that was talked about was how Mike Johnson continually just shaking his head. I saw that a Republican blog, Red State, actually called him one of the stars of the evening, and then that's about the end of the positive comments and thoughts on how Mike Johnson just kept reacting over and over by just nodding negatively all the way through. Catherine, how do you think the American people, or maybe a neutral observer that watched that, would react to what Mike Johnson did throughout the speech?
To me, he just looked completely out of place. Like, he didn't know what he was doing there. Like, he doesn't have any kind of gravitas or anything. Like, he just I was in a text thread with some friends, and someone said that it looked like he was shrinking throughout the evening. He the few times he did react, it was merely, like you said, a head shake or a nod or a something, but, you know, very little reaction. Certainly nothing like former Speaker Pelosi. He just looked out of place to me. And I do think he felt like he was shrinking. Like, as the night went on, he wanted to hide and get smaller.
Well, and honestly, if he's looking at the speech and realizing how Joe Biden's doing so well, he's like, oh, crap. If he wins re-election, then the Democrats probably take the House and I'm out no matter what, although that might be good for his blood pressure and overall health and sanity to not be in charge of that caucus. But, you know, that could have been what he's thinking as well. Tim, let's talk about momentum coming out of this thing. You know, this race, you know, observers have had looked at it different ways, looking at polls, looking at past, recent election results, so looking at keys to the White House, different things. And so I think when you put all those different factors in, it might have been a 50-50 proposition going in. But after Joe Biden had such a good night, a lot of folks seem to have, feel a lot better about where Joe Biden stood. Even people that were negative on his prospects, like Ezra Klein. What do you think the short-term momentum statement is right now in the race?
Well, short-term, like we've already talked about, there's not really anything negative to say about him. What I'm looking for in surveys and polling is to see if there's movement among disaffected Biden voters back to Biden. That's where he is really suffering so far. So far, in just the very earliest days, the reviews of Biden are very good universally among expert and average person alike. What we have not seen yet is a corresponding move in the polls. His approval rate did not move one inch, and nothing moved between him and Donald Trump. Everything is very static. In a way, I'm not worried about that. In a way, I am worried about it because of the fact that probably less than 5% of the voters are movable to to start with. And when you have 20% of the Donald Trump's voters saying that they're going to vote for him, even if he's convicted of a crime, you know, it'd be hard to shake his voters. I'm looking for movement among Biden voters. He needs to bring the Democrats back home. Let's see if this is the beginning of that.
Yeah, I, of course, I'm suspect of the polls, although you weren't on the show last week when we talked about the Texas poll. That's a poll that actually had cross tabs that made sense. And I'm really, you know, seeing a lot of folks, some smart folks, that look at these cross tabs and go, wait, Joe Biden's losing voters 18 to 24, but he's winning voters over 65. And that's why, you know, and crazy stuff like that. So I think if we start to see some polling where the cross tabs, you know, sort of look like where they're supposed to, maybe they're a little different as far as like 1 point or 2 either way, but it makes sense, then those are the polls that can look at more. Well, now let's talk about the public in response, and that, you know, Alabama Senator Katie Britt gave. and so it was, you know, given from, and I guess in Montgomery, she wasn't at the Capitol. I guess that's also, actually, they usually aren't in the chamber if they're going to give the response. But she gave it from her house in Montgomery, and in particular her kitchen. Catherine, your thoughts on Katie Britt's response to the State of the Union.
I have a lot of thoughts about it, of course. I always find it disturbing when we plunk women politicians down in their kitchens. It feels very demeaning and kind of old school to me, which kind of is expected from Republicans, I suppose. One thing that really troubled me about her, I mean, there were a lot of things, but one of the things, the overarching thing that bothered me was she talked about how, you know, how amazing in one generation she went from, you know, her family being small business owners and to, you know, being a senator. Well, I went back and looked at, you know, when she was born and, you know, what the political climate was when she was, you know, of, you know, her formative years. So Bill Clinton was elected when she was 10. So she went 8 years with the Democratic president, then 8 years with a Republican president, then 8 more years with a, another Democrat, which was during the time when she really blossomed as a businesswoman. So I have a little bit of trouble with this, you know, damning of Democrats when it seems like Democrats were very important in her formative year. So that's one thing. That was like a meta, you know, overarching thing. But the whole setup was fake. And she, you know, we've all probably had a chance to see some clips of her in her normal speaking voice because they've been all over Instagram and TikTok and all over. And that's not how she talks. Like, that, it was all very fake and inauthentic and so dramatic. And a lot of it was inaccurate, that whole... I mean, there's just so much to say, but I think it came off very badly and did not help the Republican Party in any way. So I thank them for that.
Yeah, Tim, going into the speech, and probably still not coming out of the speech because he set the bar so low. You know, there's two Alabama senators, Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt, and probably any time they get compared, she's the smart one, she's the sane one, she's the this, she's the that. She had such a, you know, lead. If you wanted something in Alabama and you just wanted somebody that actually could probably chain, you know, two or three coherent thoughts together, she's going to be the one you go to. She didn't even probably have to give this speech, but if she gave this speech, she could have just given the speech normally and kept that, that reputation intact, pristine, but she did not do that in any way, did she, Jim?
Well, the roadways are littered with those who did this. You got Governor Jindal. Got Marco Rubio, who were both rising stars in the party. We know what happened to them. She's pegged as a rising star in the Republicans. She's only 42 years of age. Everything was set up perfectly for her, but I swear that speech wasn't 10 sentences old. I was turning to my wife and saying, my God, this is a massive mistake. She asked me if the woman was about to burst out crying. I was texting at the same time with a very Republican friend who's done a lot of work in Republican politics up in Franklin, Tennessee. And he was literally dying. We were talking about the SNL writers were licking their chops, which as it turned out they were. She delivered a disastrous response. One Trump staff member was sitting with a reporter from Rolling Stone, who was covering Trump's campaign, and he asked that Rolling Stone reporter out loud, what the hell am I watching right now? Charlie Kirk said she was talking like she was hosting a cooking show. Why was she speaking from a kitchen? Why not a U.S. senator delivering a normal speech? Whose idea was this craziness? And you know what? There's about as many people talking about this lurid performance of hers as they are talking about Biden's strong performance in the State of the Union. And it's just, man. I don't know if I've ever seen anything worse at that level.
Yeah, I've noticed immediately it almost seemed like the old 1980s PTL, televangelist. Not televangelist like a big crowd, but like when they had the studio set up. The cadence. And, you know, the biggest problem for her is not that Saturday Night Live pans it. It's not that folks on the national media pan it. You can go to AL.com, and that's the Alabama news source. That's kind of like the collective of, you know, Birmingham and Huntsville and Mobile and Montgomery. They've kind of all joined in together to make a news service, particularly online, for the whole state. And they were just brutal. And I don't think they meant like in a partisan way necessarily. It was kind of like they probably had more respect for Katie Britt. But it was like, what was she doing? Who told her to speak in this cadence? And talking about Saturday Night Live, I saw the thing that they had Scarlett Johansson, and Scarlett Johansson may have volunteered to do it. She kind of did the parody, and it was excellent. But honestly, Scarlett Johansson's speaking cadence was far more normal than Katie Britt. SNL is known for taking something that's kind of weird and outrageous and just exaggerating it for comedic effect. It was almost like the exaggeration was the real thing, not what SNL did. It's just absolutely floored me. I did hear that she's apparently on – they call it a short list, but I've never seen such a long short list of Trump's VP candidates. Catherine, I would have to think this would not have helped her.
No, this could not help her, I'm sure. But you never know. You never know.
If Trump is looking at headshots exclusively and not looking at any kind of political acumen and electability help, who knows with Trump what he's thinking. But
Yeah, I would have to think this didn't help. Tim, do you think it helped her in any way?
No. Look, when one of Donald Trump's main advisors purposely asked this question of a Rolling Stone reporter, knowing that the Rolling Stone reporter is going to be on television within the hour telling exactly what was just said, and when a guy like Charlie Kirk, who is as hardcore as it gets, was panning her, and if you look at his page, his devoted readers were just hammering her. There was nothing good out there anywhere. Even when they asked Tommy Tuberville about it, it almost looked like he was making something nice up to say about it. There was nothing good about this, and nothing that's going to help her at all. And, you know, she's got a ways to claw back, but I'll go ahead and predict she's not going to be Trump's running mate. I didn't believe it to start with. I sure don't now.
Yeah, and I didn't think she would either. And honestly, I mean, you know, I give advice to anybody on the air for free, and I would give this advice to her beforehand, but now it's too late. I would either just let this one go as far as getting this opportunity, or I would have just given it normally, not with all the weird cadences. And, of course, don't tell just a completely false story about something that happened in 2005, 2006 in Mexico, and act like it was in the last two or three years in America, which is, because that really is a real problem. Because that's just, a falsehood, not, using a weird cadence. Because to me, she is 42. She's one of the youngest members of the U.S. Senate. I believe the youngest Republican member or the youngest female Republican member of the U.S. Senate. There is going to be a post-Trump, post-MAGA Republican Party at some point. She could probably be a face of that because she's not crazy. This is not Lauren Boebert. This is not Marjorie Taylor Greene. But when you go and do stuff like this, you hurt your reputation for being a leader of that, more sane Republican Party that may come after. Now, of course, if they keep on this road, there may not be a sane Republican Party afterward because they can kill the whole thing. But, you assume with a two-party system that there has to be some opposition from the right. But who knows?
David,
and just a crazy state of affairs.
I have to interrupt you and say, we might not have thought she was crazy until Thursday night, but I got to put her in the same category as Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert at this point. That was crazy.
I think she's playing a part, and I think there are there's a bunch of folks that are posing now because they see what the Republican Party's become. And they think that's the way to get ahead, and so let's act the part. And there's really no excuse for that. I mean, but no, she's brighter than them. She's got more good sense than them. I have no doubt. She worked in her predecessor's office until he retired. Was it Richard Shelby? I really do. I mean, not all of them are crazy. Some are playing parts. Some are playing dangerous crazy parts. Like, I think J.D. Vance is a lot smarter than he lets on, although he is just scary in the way he functions at times. Tim, your thoughts on if this is an act or we got the real her?
Well, she certainly made some poor choices going into this speech. I've no doubt that she had staffers and ops who set this up for her and told her, what they wanted. And then she did the bad actress thing on her own, and it really was a bad acting job. It just cringeworthy after a few minutes. I guess the old political hack kept sitting there not looking at a Democrat or a Republican or just except just looking at her as a U.S. senator standing up there acting like that. It was bizarre, man. It is the most bizarre speech of that magnitude that I have ever seen. And over 30 million people were sitting there around the country looking at it, and I know they were all thinking the same thing I was thinking. I just can't stress enough how much of an unmitigated disaster I think this is.
Yeah, and it becomes a question of judgment. You know, what kind of judgment allow, like, even if someone instructed you to do that, wouldn't you say, wait, no, this isn't me. This isn't how I want to come across. So it brings into question her judgment, which is, you know, one of the few things that we sometimes have to judge people by.
Yeah, I do know this. One of the few things I've heard from her office, if you will, is actually, I guess, as much Senator Ossoff's office, is that in recent months, her and Senator Ossoff, and them both being two of the youngest members of the Senate, have been working on, trying to do study and prevention of fentanyl being put in vapes and understanding how people are, you know, how this very lethal drug is getting put in places where people are not, you know, wanting it or expecting it, with, of course, tragic consequences. I mean, that's a real issue.
Here's another problem.
The kind of nonsense that Marjorie Taylor Greene comes out with. That has no substance.
Oh, well, let's get by the delivery. First thing she started talking about was the border. Trashing Biden over the border, not getting anything done about the border. And I knew going into that speech that she was one of the people that helped craft the border bill in bipartisan fashion that she turned around and voted against. And she said, come on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the whole party. And it's ridiculous, and apparently that's another thing from it. James Lankford, when President Biden was talking about that border bill, said, send it to me, I'll sign it. You know, at some point, talking about one of the details, James Lankford was shown on camera saying, that's right. A very conservative Republican senator agreeing with President Biden would have had some restrictions. The Republicans, you know, say they won't. Republicans do it now because they are so beholden. They listen to everything Donald Trump wants, and Donald Trump wants to kill it because he wants to take credit for whatever he wants to take credit for. Well, let's move on to some more Republican craziness, that being on a local level. Now, most of our listeners are going to be like, where is Catoosa County, Georgia? It is a county that is almost on the Tennessee state line. I guess it actually may be on the Tennessee state line. It is essentially suburban Chattanooga. Sits on I-75. It's a growing community because of Chattanooga. Not a huge growing community, but a community that probably has more, rural roots, but changing a little bit. This past week, they made the news. Qualifying in Georgia was going on, and Republican Party there is in charge of qualifying candidates, and their Republican Party apparently has been taken over by the extreme wing of the party that is kind of headed by a lot by, I guess, Candace Taylor and others. And this is not, you know, the Brian Kemp, Brad Raffensperger end of the party, which is conservative enough for a lot of us, but their board of commissioners is all Republican. And four of their seats were up, and apparently these four people that were running for office were not considered MAGA and conservative enough for the Republican leaders
I don't know what their exact transgressions were. I'm sure it was, you know, some piece of normal good government, like they picked up trash or they wanted to open a new park for the residents. But they were not allowed to qualify by the Republican Party when they went to file Monday. This thing went on all week, and it's still going on, and there's more steps in the process that we'll get to. But, Tim, you're closer to Catoosa County than the rest of us. Kind of give us your thoughts on what's going on.
Yeah, well, a little bit of background. Of course, they have an executive committee in their party, and it's elected from among the members of the county committee who are elected in a local caucus. That's how the party is put together. Now, the chair is a lady by the name of Joanna Hildreth. She's an extremely libertarian-leaning type. For years, that crowd was kept out of party leadership. Now they mean to exact retribution, and their solution is a purity test for candidates. She is a member of a splinter group called the Georgia Republican Assembly. And they have been pushing this not only at the local level, but some of their people have even been trying to push it at the statewide level among statewide candidates, and so far it's been beaten back. Now, what they got mad about with these elected officials in Catoosa was they believe they've supported tax increases. So they're out. Don't matter if it's property taxes or what it is, it's their fault. And if you support the government-funded vaccinations, you're out. That was another part of this purity test. And my personal favorite, if you support limiting the ownership of chickens in certain residential areas, I kid you not, very big issue up there, then you're out. And so several elected officials got bad. What made it bad? One commission candidate did not get banned because his stepmother's on the executive committee. Judge Don Thompson, who I know ruled in favor of the four candidates to be placed on the ballot. We'll get to that in a minute. But that's basically what got this going. And it's just on to the extreme on the bizarre. These people that got banned from running are just as rock-ribbed Republican as it gets. So that's where they're at. Catherine, you were ready to move to Catoosa County and Ringgold until you heard about no chickens, right? Don't.
Yeah, but I wanted to have chickens, so.
Yeah.
I'm not moving to anywhere eggs. Where my chickens might be at risk.
But, well, seriously, Catherine, I know this is actually made probably in some places national news, but definitely statewide news, even though you're not in this corner of Georgia.
I think anybody who wants to run for office should be able to run for office. And if they decide they're a Republican, since we don't register in a party in this state, then we don't really have any control over whether they decide to run as a Republican or run as a Democrat. The decision should be with the voters, not with the people who run the elections or who run the party. Plus, they get money for it. So, like, why don't they just, you know, let anybody run? Well, get their money, and if they are successful, they'll win. And if they're not, I mean, it doesn't seem like rocket science to me, but apparently it is.
Well,
yes, Tim, this brought up a case in Georgia, or I'm sorry, in Floyd County, Georgia, that was well over 10 years ago, maybe even getting close to 20 years ago, in which a candidate that had filed before, Ann Otwell, better known as Serpentfoot, she had filed for the county commission, I think, more than once at this point as a Democrat. Well, she came to file, Gene Richardson thought, as a Democrat again, but she informed Gene that she was trying to register as a Republican because, in her words, the Democratic Party had gone too far left on guns for Serpentfoot. We can probably give more details about her in a minute. But this is a candidate that neither party was really that excited about since at county commission meeting she had stripped down naked and had to been people put clothes by a coat back on her and then she would be arrested for public indecency at the county commission meetings. But apparently at that time, the Republicans were closing their office for lunch to try to avoid qualifying her. But once, you know, they got her over there during non-lunch hours, she actually got to qualify. The Republican Party of Floyd County went ahead and qualified her. I thought, you know, if both parties could qualify Serpentfoot in Floyd County, how bad could somebody in Catoosa County that was a currently elected commissioner possibly be? Right, Tim?
Well, you know, the bless Miss Otwell's heart, she was mentally sick. She lived in a teepee in a yard for a while. Her family couldn't do anything with her. You mentioned the fact that she exposed herself at the county commission meetings. In that case, I'm afraid that in order to take her money, the parties might have been entertaining the fantasies of a really sick person who had no reason at all to be running. And I personally think they should have prevented her from doing so, but that's just me. Up in Chattooga County, we had people who had been, in Catoosa County, we had people who had been elected by the voters. They had no stains or scandals attached to their records. And, the new executive committee up there wanted to stack the deck with their own preferred people. And that was the only reason that they did this, a totally different thing. And, that's why the judge, ruled in favor of the candidates, because they absolutely met the criteria for qualification. They've done it before, and they did it again. And there's a legal criteria for qualification, too. They met that. That's what he dealt with. And then, of course, it degenerated into they were still not allowed to qualify, and you can, deal with that as you talk again. So,
yeah, and so where it stands now, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, the courts have said they're going to fine the folks that are not qualifying them $1,000 per hour per candidate. And the last point I saw any printed, totaling of what the bill comes to, it exceeded $28,000, which, if you're talking about for just some local folks at a party, and I've been a local folk at a party, I'm a current folk at a state party, I don't have $28,000 laying around, perform some kind of nonsense like this, not that I'd ever want to anyway. So, I mean, this is real money for just regular folks, but that they're, coming up with this. But then the judge said, well, look, we're just going to have the Board of Elections qualify the candidates. So they're going to get qualified anyway. They're going to be on the ballot, and it'll be interesting to see. Will these fines, be expected to be paid?
We will know on March 27th. We will know on March the 27th there's going apparently to be a hearing conducted just for that very purpose to deal with whether or not these fines have got to be met. And you talk about taking a bite out of your budget. The whole thing is just bizarre, and you were asking if you know, this is just state news. I mean, I was reading an article from Great Britain about it.
Great.
This has made national and international news in one of the fastest growing counties, by the way, in the state of Georgia. It's now a bedroom community, basically, of Chattanooga. It's becoming a big county, and I can't imagine the citizens up there are happy about this. Can y'all?
Yeah, that's what I want to watch, to see if Catoosa County in this next election maybe gets like 2-3% more Democratic. And it may be, you know, 2% more Democratic anyway. Maybe it gets 4-5% more Democratic, because it is a Republican-leaning county, and I don't expect it to flip over this alone. But if you move that process and get some of these counties more Democratic, and then it, you know, bleeds over into Whitfield and Walker and other places that are in the, you know, Chattanooga media market, I mean, that's a mess for them. Catherine, I'm going to ask you this question related to this. These people are just not following the rule of law. We know that in the past, you know, roughly 6 years, there's been an individual that comes on the scene that does not follow the rule of law. And is this an outgrowth of MAGA Trump politics, where people think, well, if Donald Trump can just thumb his nose at the law, I will too?
I think there could be some legitimacy to that, except from what Tim said, it sounds like these are the, you know, the libertarian wing of the Republican Party. And I mean, it could be a combination of the MAGA and the libertarians responding to what they think is wrong.
Yeah, but I don't think libertarians did this in the past. I mean, true libertarians, I do think they follow the law. They don't want to have to pay a lot of taxes, but they will follow the laws that are on the books.
Well,
remember now,
there's a difference in the libertarians and the libertarian wing of the Republican Party.
Right.
Two kind of different animals. These are some hardcore folks we're talking about here. And when they say there's a purity test, they mean, in their minds, purity. When we're down to talking about how many chickens you should be able to keep in a residential area, and they're mad because they think you can keep all the chickens you want to, I guess, build chicken houses in the middle of an upscale neighborhood. And when, you know, the commission crafts zoning laws to stop that, they think that's intrusion by the government. Oh, come on, man. How far does this go with some of these people?
Yeah, I mean, while chickens, you can have them in a controlled manner. You can put them in your backyard. You're getting eggs. I mean, I think we'll see why people want domestic chickens. I mean, what if somebody said, well, I'm just going to, you know, throw my garbage in my backyard because that's the way I want to do it. You know, I just want to do my recycling in a big pile.
Yeah, I think I'll put a $500,000 laying hens, you know, back behind my house on my property. How would the neighbors react to that? I mean, they're into the ridiculous category.
Yeah, commercial chicken operation, which is totally different. That's industrial. I think we'll see the resolution to this as far as, you know, the candidates will be on the ballot, the campaign will start, then there'll be two more things. There'll be the court dates you mentioned in late March, if the fines happen, because if the fines get enforced, that may send the message to people not only in Georgia, definitely in Catoosa County, Georgia, but really all over America that, yes, we are going to follow the rule of law, and, you know, we're going to start doing things in an organized manner, which is where America needs to be in civilized society. And then, of course, we're going to see the primary.
And you know what? That's where it is. If these other candidates that opposed them ran against them and the people of Catoosa County voted those new folks in, that's the democratic process, not just winning because the other group didn't get qualified. That's the danger there. Well, let's move on to our final topic of tonight, and we've only got just a few minutes, but I think we can still get a little bit in here. And it just really sets the table, honestly, for the rest of the general election. And the state of North Carolina, they had their primaries the other night, and candidate Lieutenant Governor, we've discussed him before because he has made controversy for years now, Mark Robinson did officially become the gubernatorial nominee of North Carolina, and he got increased attention nationally again for the statements he's made, including one which I guess got some play in the past but got a lot of play starting Wednesday morning, Catherine, where he said that he wants to go back to a time in which women didn't vote. If that statement by itself was not appalling enough, if Mark Robinson, an African-American man, thinks that the 19-teens were so great, he obviously doesn't know a lot of history because in North Carolina, most places would have blocked him from voting, and that was near the high water mark in American history for lynchings. I'm not so sure why anyone of any race, any gender, would think that was a wonderful time in American history, but I don't know how in the world an African-American would think that was a great time. What are your thoughts on Mark Robinson's ascendancy to be the face of the Republican Party in North Carolina?
It's not a pretty face. It's not a pretty scene. But, you know, at least he's honest and he's telling us where he's at so people know what to expect. I mean, there's some value in that for the voters and for, you know, future people. You know, we told you,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's some value in that, right?
I guess we'll say he's honest. honestly bad.
Honest?
Honestly backward. Tim?
I think he's a nutcase. I mean, yes. The dude thinks there is a secret race of lizard people, one of these Looney Tune conspiracy things that's been going around for years. He believes that. He believes that Beyonce is satanic, and that Jay-Z is an actual demon. He said that basically these kids that survive school shootings need to shut up and suck it up. You know, I mean, hey, this guy is he just says anything that comes into his mind. I mean. I can't even compare him to Herschel Walker. I think Walker was probably better than this guy. The scary thing is, though, this dude is the lieutenant governor of the state of North Carolina. He has risen up conservative politics. And a lot of Trump supporters think, well, that's okay, just because Trump likes the guy, just because supports the guy. No, it's okay. It's not okay. We have got to do something about these absolute loons that have suddenly come from out of the woodwork and actually getting elected to high office. This man is one step away from really winning a major office. Imagine the damage this guy can do if he attains that office. Just imagine that. What are the people up there in that state even thinking? Do they think he's just talking? Well, or does the average person up there not even know what he's saying? How could anybody not know some of that craziness he's saying. And I just barely skimmed the surface. He's just made Looney Tunes statements over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Oh, well.
I get frustrated after a while. Yeah, I don't know how he won the lieutenant governor's office, but that was a lower-level office. I just have to think that he just does not win the governor's office. There's going to be so much money spent against him. And then, of course, down the ballot, I know a lot of North Carolina Republicans are probably worried that he'll have negative coattails and some races that they might have won or may hold now they could lose. But I think a bigger question is, could this guy and his crazy statements be so toxic that the entire Republican ticket gets tied together, including one race upward, that being a president, and North Carolina has long been listed as the most likely state that Joe Biden could flip that he did not win in 2020, with all of the ammunition that Mark Robinson is giving Democrats, could he be tied upward and help flip that state presidential level, Catherine?
I certainly would like to think so, but I just don't have a lot of confidence in those MAGA voters. So, I mean, I wish I could say, yeah, nobody's going to vote for him, but.
Well, Catherine, I agree with you. I have no confidence in the MAGA voters either. But the MAGA voters are still only a percentage of the electorate. They're not all of the Republicans, and they're definitely not a huge portion of the independents. Tim, same
that's
question.
A good point.
Yeah. Tim?
Go ahead, Tim.
Same question.
Oh, there. Okay. Yeah, everybody was talking. I didn't understand anybody calling
yeah.
on me.
Same question.
Basically, we've seen this around the country a few times, especially in the last few election cycles since, say, 2010, when a very winnable race for Republicans turns into a not-so-winnable race because they have a candidate that is so flawed that he just is anathema to persuadable voters. Now, will it make these voters jump up for the purpose of going out and voting against him in particular, and in a presidential election year at that? But this is another one of those I'm not a witch things, or you know, women know how to shut down pregnancies when they're raped, or except this guy's got a whole pocket full of these things. I mean, he's like Walker on steroids. It's like the bad air from China would be a nursery rhyme compared to some of this stuff this guy is saying.
Yeah.
So I don't see where he can help. I can only see where he could hurt if
right.
it goes one way or the other.
Yeah, Herschel Walker was appallingly dumb or naive. Mark Robinson's appallingly dangerous. There's a little more coherence in there as far as the way he delivers what he's saying, but it's really dangerous and you know, backward and crazy. I am interested to see it. This is another place where some polling starts coming up, some better polling comes out, and we see, like, you know, how much is, you know, I'm assuming Donald Trump will run ahead of Mark Robinson. How big's the divide? Is it pretty close? Because if it's pretty close, in a negative way, with a bunch of, you know, neither one of them close to 50, then he could possibly pull him down. And if you know, Donald Trump has to go campaign in the state, he's going to campaign with this guy. Now, of course, at the rallies with the true believers, they're going to be fine with it. But then they're going to put them on the news with the independent voters, the softer Republicans. That he's going to be a turnout machine for Democrats. I mean, he is it after all the statements you made, Tim, about even the really non-political crazy ones like, you know, his thoughts on Beyonce and Jay-Z. Turnout voters. Because if Democratic turnout is through the roof to stop him, and they also click Joe Biden, you know, that might be how you flip North Carolina. I do believe North Carolina is going to get more funding than possibly even one of the six noted targeted swing states because this race is on the ballot, whereas there's some other states that have no other statewide races on the ballot. So I'll be interested to see. Well, next week we've already got our guests lined up. We're going to welcome in Steve Singhizer, and Steve's going to talk to us about that California Senate primary. We didn't even talk about it today, but that's okay. We're going to have the expert out from L.A., Steve Singhizer, talking to us about it, among other topics. But until then, Ben McCusley, Ron.
Good night.
Good night,
guys.
Y'all.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Will a strong and united America still be a force for freedom and prosperity around the world?
America has created the longest peacetime economic expansion in our history.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Good, common sense, and sound judgment of the American people and their essential love of justice.